no. I'm totally happy. Totally happy.
Yeah, you seem like it.
But
yeah.
I am as tired of this number as probably Barack Obama is. Later today, we're going to hear the unemployment number. Once again, economists expect for last month the unemployment rate is going to stay about the same, 9.6%. But as we like to do on this program, we want to jump behind the numbers and see if we can't sort of find a narrative that's maybe more nuanced and more important to actual people experiencing this recession. Joining us now, Professor Algernon Austin, who's Director of Program on Race, Ethnicity, and the Economy at the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
And one of the things I'm dying to ask you this morning is, as we've emerged into this high unemployment economy that seems to persist, every month we're starting to see a trade-off of how many public sector jobs were lost, and we were talking about the census in the beginning of the year, that's less of an issue now, and how many private sector jobs were added. It's always fewer private sector jobs added, maybe 60,000 here, 50,000 there, but an enormous number of public sector jobs lost. And with so many states poised on the fiscal edge, is the public sector economy threatened in a way that disproportionately affects groups that are always, more deeply hurt by unemployment in the United States, African Americans, Hispanics, other groups like that?
Yes, definitely. That's definitely the case. Unfortunately, the fiscal crises at the state and local level continue, and currently the federal government has not mentioned any plans to step in and provide additional aid. And yes, African Americans are slightly overrepresented in those public sector jobs. College-educated African Americans in particular are overrepresented in those jobs. So I've been talking about the threat to the black middle class that we've seen, one, due to the loss of those public sector jobs, but also due to the foreclosure crisis that you've mentioned, and just the generally high levels of unemployment among college-educated blacks.
Well, you're talking about two really important threshold triggers in the African-American workforce, and that is home ownership as a ticket to the middle class, and also college-educated public sector employment as a ticket. With both of those threatened, how do you track what's gone on in the last 2 years in this recession in the African-American community as a sociologist?
Well, it's been really quite difficult for the black middle class. The unemployment rate for college-educated blacks is on track to be the highest for all the years that we have data. We've tracked it back to 1979, and the unemployment rate that we're seeing for college-educated blacks is higher in that entire period.
I mean, we're looking at 16.1% unemployment for African Americans in the third quarter, and that's a historic record based on the time period you've just mentioned.
Yes, that's high. Unfortunately, the unemployment rate for African Americans has been in the double digits for the last 2 years, and it will probably continue to be in the double digits for the next 2 to 3 years. African Americans, if you look at people who've been unemployed for a year or more, African Americans are overrepresented in that category also. So the distress in the black community is quite high, and unfortunately it looks like it will persist for at least another 2 years.
And, the political discourse after the election on Tuesday, of course, the House being retaken by Republicans and, talks about reducing spending and reducing the size of government bears directly on employment in the public sector. I'm wondering if you buy this argument that for whatever reason, the Obama administration wasn't able to assuage this sense of alarm and threat among African Americans because of the recession by focusing on things like health care. And that explains why voter turnout in a lot of urban areas was relatively low, particularly for what the Obama administration had wanted.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that, like with everyone else, blacks are dissatisfied with the state of the economy, and I think that's a factor in their low turnout. They support the president. They generally support Democrats, but they're not really seeing much positive going on right now.
But, Professor, what is exactly causing the disproportionate numbers of unemployed African Americans? Are there other things at play? I mean, is it because they're in urban areas? What's the reason?
Well, we see this, you know, generally it's a kind of a general rule that the black unemployment rate is about twice the white unemployment rate. So there are a number of factors in that. One, the black labor force is younger than the white labor force, and more likely to be the first hired, the last hired, first fired, more likely to be lower ranked in organizations. They're going to be more likely to be fired. But also the issue of discrimination in the labor force means or come into play in the fact that they're lower ranked, the fact that they're the last hired. So there are a number of factors. Also the regions, you know, places like Detroit and Michigan, you have a significant number of blacks. That area has been hit very hard. And also the auto industry, the decline, those are actually, in many cases, middle-class jobs also.
So it's a combination of factors. You've got the decline in manufacturing, geographic factors, and then these issues that make it very, very difficult for the African-American workforce to have the mobility that others in the United States do. Professor Algernon Austin is director of the Program on Race, Ethnicity, and the Economy at the Economic Policy Institute, thinking about the unemployment numbers out later this day for last month.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.